Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Thank you guys for joining us again. This is the Triple Threat Podcast. We got you joined in today. My man Scotty D is here live and in living color. We appreciate everybody who has been streaming, who's been watching us, who's been sharing it. We appreciate it. Thank you guys for joining us on the Triple Threat Podcast today. I'm DJ Shockley. Scotty D, what's poppin'?
Hey, man, what is up with DJ Shockley this week?
What do you mean? I don't get it.
I don't know. It's just. I'm just asking how you're doing, man. Hey, what you man, got going on?
Busy? All is good, man. You know, the usual grind of the season, man. Looking forward to another good weekend of college football. We got NFL. We got a lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff to talk about today. Yes. No guest on the show today. My man Jason Campbell was supposed to come on today. He may join us next week. We'll see. But we do got Bama and Florida next week in the SEC Championship game. So we'll see. We may put that Auburn guy off for a little bit, but we'll see. But looking forward to talking to Jason when we get a chance to get him on. But a lot of stuff going on around the world of sports, man. A lot of stuff going around in the world, culture, everything, man. Scotty, what's the biggest thing on your mind right now?
Biggest thing on my mind?
Anything.
Man, you haven't caught me off guard in a while.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to NFL playoffs right now, and that is the biggest thing. I want to see how far the Bills can go.
Yeah.
I want to see if the Rams can – I've been watching the Rams. I think they're really interesting. And see if they can knock off the Saints and or Green Bay to get all the way. So that's – I'm ready for – I'm not ready for season be over, college yeah. or pro. But, man, it's been less and less intriguing as we've moved on, especially in college, in my opinion.
It still flew by, though, man. I mean, it's crazy.
I know.
You think about – I think South Carolina, Kentucky last week, they both were able to play 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
Coming into this year, I don't think nobody expected us to get to that point.
Yeah.
Now, and then you look over in the Big Ten, and, hey, they may get 4 or 5 games. Obviously, yeah. We're going to talk about what's happening with Ohio State and all that kind of stuff
going on. That.
So you just don't know what's going to happen throughout the year. The craziest thing, you know what, this week I've been, for some reason, I've caught some of my favorite movies.
Like, okay.
Like this week, New Jack City was on. I'm a big New Jack City fan. My man Nino Brown. I was watching The Five Heartbeats. My man Eddie Kane. I know some Dang. Five Heartbeat fans out there. So a couple of my classic joints came on, and I was stuck.
Man, I haven't seen New Jack City in a while.
Before we came on the podcast, I was watching Sister Act. I watched Sister Act, and then Sister Act 2 came on, and I was in the middle of watching Sister Act. Like, it was just – I don't know what's happened. I just caught a couple movies this week, and it was fun catching up on a couple of the old joints and laughing like I ain't never seen them. So it's always good to do that. You got any movies like that that if you've seen them 30 times, you still are watching whenever it come on?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Friday.
Oh.
Dazed and Confused.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of mine, and I'm not into it necessarily, but a lot of my movies revolve around the marijuana. I find Jane. Those
yeah. I'm in love with Mary Jane. She's my main thing.
You know what I caught a couple times recently? Watched part of it and then I watched all of it was Coming to America.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh, so good.
Classic one liners in there all day long.
So good.
That boy good and terrible. Yeah. I mean
that boy can sing.
Man, you got classic lines all over. That's a good call right there. I like Coming to America. I watch that, too. Whenever it come on, my wife's like, are you serious? You're going to watch this again? I'm like, yes. I'm going to watch it again.
I'm trying
five of the TVs, Ryan.
Trying to carve out some time to watch Die Hard with my son because that's I love that. That's the best Christmas movie ever.
Hey, man, they got plenty of Die Hard to go around. So
yeah.
You can watch all the Die Hards and never move. Holidays coming up, man. Looking forward to holiday times. I know everybody's looking forward to being around family if you get a chance to. I know there's still a lot going on. COVID still's out there. Mm. So everybody continue to stay safe, man. Keep wearing your mask. Stay safe, man. So that's a big part of it. All right, let's talk some ball, man. Let's talk some of the good things that's happened. I think we got to start in college football. Obviously, the biggest story this week, Ohio State, Michigan, that rivalry set to play. Everybody thinks Ohio State's going to just wear them out by 50. But then Michigan, as we know, has been under the weather for a lot of this season, to say the least. So Ohio State, Michigan gets canceled. Shadi, before we talk about going forward with Ohio State and what all that means and what the Big Ten ruling is, all that, what did you first think? Did you actually think this game was actually going to happen? Or did you say Michigan is trying to give it to their rival?
Well, I don't think they're trying to give it to their rival. But, you know, they started some rumblings about this a couple weeks ago, whether Michigan would pull through on this game.
Right.
I think it's a shame. I know that Michigan fans are frustrated for more reasons than just this season. Or just the circumstances around why they're missed game. And Ohio State fans they're beside themselves because they've only played five games.
For sure.
So I feel bad for the fans of those two great programs, historically great programs. Feel horrible for them. But I think in the end, I think that the Big Ten and everybody that made the decisions, I don't know, is ADs, presidents, commissioner, I think they put themselves in this spot. We talked about it early on. They gave themselves no wiggle room. And it's unfortunate.
Tell them how you really feel, Scotty D. I mean, come on, Big Ten.
I'm going to keep it real.
Like this could have been salvaged a long time ago. Now they had to go back and have this big meeting on Wednesday morning, and the athletic directors had to say, you know what? Let's kind of waive that six-game rule and let's allow Ohio State to get in. So
no surprise.
Ohio State will get a chance to play Northwestern in the Big Ten title and represent the Big Ten in the college football playoff, which at the end of the day, I think everybody will say that Ohio State is one of the top four teams. But coming into this week, I'm going to be honest. I put Ohio State out of my top four right now simply because of they haven't played enough games. I know they look like a team, but I'm looking at a team at Texas A&M who is done played, what, 7-8 games now, and they've all been in the SEC. I know they got boat raced by Alabama, but I think they have deserved the chance to sit in that fourth spot. But here's the thing. If Ohio State gets a chance to play in the Big Ten title game, they earn their spot. And you win a conference championship, you play enough ball games, you got a chance to play in the college football playoff. So that's just my personal opinion. And I'm sure Ohio State will earn their way in and they'll be one of the top four teams and they could end up winning the whole thing. And then, boom, everybody will forget about it. But at this moment, that's what I feel.
I've been asking you this question off and on all season about Ohio State and whether, you know, what was enough games. And your answer, and I understand it, your answer is, look, can you look at Ohio State and feel pretty confident they're one of the top four teams? And I totally get that. The big difference to me is now, and I was kind of on board with that. I was kind of neutral, but I think what really bothers me is that they have three, four, five games that they didn't get injured, they didn't get banged up and beat up. Now, so
you said all these other teams had to fight through some kind of adversity. Yeah, they're still gonna be fresh. They played four games. You know, yeah, I'm with you. I feel you.
I mean, they missed who was the first game that
so they missed out on Illinois and they missed out on Maryland were the two games
Maryland
that they got canceled. Yeah. I should say.
So. I think at the time I thought Maryland was maybe a little better than they were. Maybe I don't feel that way now, but I don't know. I would hate, you know, again, I have an SEC bias. There's no question about that, but I hate it for their play. I would hate it for their players that they missed out because they didn't get to play enough games. It's certainly not their fault.
Yeah. But and I think that's a good point too, is it's not Ohio State's fault. It's not like they are the team that had the contact tracing or had COVID issues. They were ready to go every single week.
Or was given a 7-game or 8-game season to begin with.
Right. Yeah. So it's ultimately not their fault. And you got to give Ohio State credit for being available and ready to go. So, that works towards it as well. I know a lot of people will say, hey, I just want to see a bigger body of work. Even though they may look like one of the top teams, as we see throughout the year, you lose guys, you hurt guys, like you mentioned. You never know what can happen, and, you know, you got to win a game every single week. But, hey, if they get a chance to play in that title game, which means a lot, then they get a chance to get into the college football playoffs. So, no Michigan, no Ohio State. We'll get to see that. Obviously, Michigan's been struggling this year. It's a big deal. Other big games I think that are happening this week, North Carolina and Miami. Two of the three premier quarterbacks in that league, along with Trevor Lawrence, Derek King, and my man Sam Howell over at North Carolina. This could be a really good ball game. North Carolina lost a game early in the year to Florida State that I know a lot of people didn't expect them to lose and probably shouldn't have lost.
Yeah.
But Miami's sitting right there on the edge, too. I think it's going to be interesting to see how both those teams shake out. North Carolina is number 17, and Miami is sitting there at number 10. The other interesting thing I thought when the college football rankings came out was Cincinnati sitting at 8.
Yeah.
Scotty, what did you think when you saw Cincinnati 8? Because I think everybody thought Cincinnati probably had an outside shot to get into the playoffs if they finished up their season. But they got a game that's canceled as well with Tulsa this week. So how does that shake out for you when you see Cincinnati at 8?
I like the stories of the Cincinnatis and the BYUs and the Coastal Carolinas. I don't believe that they would stand a chance in the playoff, though.
I got you. Well,
I should say I generally feel that way. I know that Boise State can beat Oklahoma and Utah can beat Alabama and Louisville can beat Florida. Not that Louisville's a minor team, but or a power group of five team. But I don't have a problem. First of all, it doesn't matter if you're not in the top four. You're not in the top four. So I don't care if they're fifth or sixth or. If they were fifth and Florida was sixth and Florida were to beat Alabama, they should definitely hop ahead of Cincinnati. Yeah. Otherwise, Cincinnati wouldn't get into that top four anyway. But yeah. I'm interested what you think about, if I could kind of change directions. Do you think if Clemson beats – I think Clemson is going to wear Notre Dame out.
Okay.
And do you think if Clemson beats North Carolina, Notre Dame by 14, 17 points – Does Notre Dame stay in the top four?
Ooh, that's a tough question. Because there's so many crazy scenarios that can happen right now. And I think what happens in the SEC matters as well. Bama and Florida. Obviously, if Florida beats Alabama, that's the only other thing. If Florida does beat Alabama, I think Alabama still is in. So there's two SEC schools in. And right. Then you get Clemson, you got Notre Dame, you got Ohio State sitting right there too. They get a chance to play in their conference title. And the question you ask is if Clemson wears out Notre Dame, do they get a chance? That's going to be tough because I wonder what happens down the stretch with Texas A&M. Does Texas A&M, because they already got a game that's already postponed, which was this week, which was supposed to be versus Ole Miss. Do they get a chance to show the committee who they are and what they just did. Now, they just had a big win in Auburn on the road, and everybody said that looked like a really quality win. But I think that's a good question of what happens if Clemson and Notre Dame play in Clemson boat race. If they boat race them, then I think Notre Dame is out. I think Notre Dame is out, and you have Florida, you got Bama, you got Ohio State, and then obviously you'll have Clemson in there. I just don't think there's that much margin of, I should say, for Notre Dame to have a loss like that. Because even Clemson's loss on the road in South Bend was an overtime game. So
yeah, without Trevor, without other people.
And then now you get a neutral site game, and if Clemson boat rates them, that just tells you Clemson's just a better ball club, and being at home helped Notre Dame. So
yeah.
I'm going to roll with Notre Dame is out of that. Potential happens.
I'm just curious. What do you think about the ACC canceling Clemson and Notre Dame's games? They're obviously protecting their two teams.
Yeah.
So should Alabama be playing – who are they playing, Arkansas?
Yeah.
Should Florida be playing LSU? Is the SEC – I know that the – I think Greg Sankey and them pride themselves in getting those 10 games in. I think that was really important to them.
Yeah.
But – I'm starting to think that the ACC is got it going on.
Yeah.
They're like, you know what? We got the team set. We don't need to take a chance on these two getting exposed.
Yeah, that's something to think about. But I think the SEC prides itself on playing the best week in and week out, regardless, no changing. And not saying that the ACC doesn't, but I think they know exactly who Clemson and Notre Dame are. And not to say we don't know who Florida, who Alabama are either, but I think the mindsets are different in those two conferences. And we've seen that throughout the year. We've seen that from their leadership. The mindset is different on how they go about their business. So fully expect the SEC to continue to what they've been doing. And, hey, that the ACC has found a way to, you know, have two programs in the spotlight right in the middle of this thing at the end of the year. And that's all they can ask for. Yeah. So I think they're all about that.
Three. I mean, three, really, because if Florida be, – because if that scenario pans out, let's say Alabama beats Florida. Let's say Clemson boat races Notre Dame. Then you got A&M in that possible four spot. So they got a lot at stake.
Yeah. But here's the interesting thing for A&M. Say Alabama does beat Florida.
Okay.
So Alabama's in. Notre Dame beats Clemson.
Oh, okay.
Guess who rolls in now?
Yeah. Might be A&M then, yeah. So, because you can't put Clemson in with two losses.
No, not going to happen, especially you lost two times to the same team. And you, no, so that's an interesting scenario as well for A&M to roll right onto that fourth spot. So there's a lot of things still to throw up in the air here as the season starts to wind down. You talk about that BYU game. How about the BYU going to Coastal Carolina ball game? That was a really good game, and credit to both those programs for saying, hey, let's play the ball game. And I don't think anybody expected Coastal Carolina to probably come out of that game with a win. I mean, you watched it. What did you think of it?
I thought it was – first of all, I think the story is like you said, is terrific that both of these two teams with – I don't think they had realistic playoff expectations, but real momentum as far as final rankings, as good of a bowl as possible. And for Coastal to – for both of them to – agree to play last minute with limited time to prep. I think it's a terrific indicator of it's what sports should be about. You know, any time back in the day, Florida State, before they were in a major conference, they would play anybody at any time with Bobby Bowden. And I think it's awesome. And for BYU to take the extra point of traveling 2,000 miles, both of them having limited time to prepare for each other. And it ended up being a crazy game. But hats off to both those programs for not only what they've done this year, but for really being an example of trying to get the deal done. You know what I mean? And I have a lot of respect for both of them.
Yeah, it was fun watching that game, man. Two ball clubs going at it, competing, and BYU coming across the country to just play, man, and have the competition and, you know, give their chance to play on a national stage. So big props to both those programs, man. It was huge to watch that. Last thing I want to talk about here in college football is at the end of the season, as we know, this was a season where seniors or just athletes, period, would have the opportunity to say this is just a gimme season. Anybody can come back next year.
Right.
Your thoughts on them having a pass this season, and do you think a lot of seniors come back?
Well, that's a good question. I've only learned recently, you know, how that will work moving forward. Because my first question was, how are you going to manage scholarships if you're letting a bunch of seniors stay? How are you going to manage recruiting classes? And all this, but just so our listeners know, and you told me this, is that any senior that returns won't count against their scholarship limit.
True.
So that's important, because I was like, it'll take years to recover if all of a sudden they got and how does that affect high school seniors coming out and all that? So that's good to know. Yeah. But I think that there could be several seniors that decide to stick around. Because there's a ton of players that don't go play in the NFL. A ton, you know, you play football all your life, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's the end. Yeah. And I think there's going to be a decent amount of seniors from across the country that want to hold on to that for just one more year. You know, what do you think?
And here's the interesting thing about it is, from a coaching standpoint, the coaches don't know at this moment which mm-hmm. guys are going to stay. And that mm-hmm. that is an issue, because a lot of schools have these early enrollees. You got signing day coming up next week. Mm-hmm. So signing day means you're going to sign a whole class, and you're going to have a bunch of guys who want to have early admission and come in January. Right. Well, in this situation, usually you would know by now, because the season would be over. You'd be getting ready for a championship game or whatever it may be. But the season would be over, and coaches would know how many seniors are leaving, how many juniors are leaving, going to the NFL.
Yeah.
So now they know what spots they can fill with early enrollees or the signing period. But yeah. now, signing period is next week. The season is still going on. We still got two more weeks of the season. So they're not sure what these seniors are going to do. So it makes it tough on these coaches to know what positions they need to be filled and how they're going to go about that process. So it's going to be something interesting to watch when the season's over. So if you're a fan of college football, just keep an eye out for seniors who say they're going to come back, or opportunities for these early enrollees to get in there, and how schools and programs deal with it. It's going to be interesting to see. So it's going to be fun to watch. I think I'm thoroughly interested to see how the season's going to end up from the college standpoint. And we got a few more weeks before we find out about who is into the college football playoffs. That's going to be fun too. All right, NFL, baby. Big is starting to get down to the wire. Last quarter of the season in the National Football League. A lot of big games happened last week. I think probably the biggest story was the Washington football team mm-hmm. taking down the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers. I tell my son this all the time. He's like, oh, they're undefeated. They'll never lose. They're playing a team that's under 500. They're never going to lose. I said, any given day, mm-hmm. any team can beat you. Yeah. What was the biggest, surprise or anything that happened for you in the year of the National Football League just last week?
Well, I think biggest thing that jumped out at me was that the Browns were beating the Titans 38-7 at half. Yeah.
Baker went crazy.
Yeah, so I was a little that really shocked me. What didn't shock me is that it ended up being a close game at the end. They only scored 3 points in the second half. Yeah. But I think I brought this up last week. I think the Redskins and Giants are really teams to keep an eye on. First of all, they're still they're still both in the playoff hunt despite being under 500. But
in the haunted NFC East,
and I know the Steelers have been dealing with a lot the last 2 weeks, so they were probably a little discombobulated, you know. But you got to hand it to them. I mean, the Redskins beat them, and then the Giants went out to Seattle, and I know Seattle's up and down too, but they went out to Seattle and beat an 8-3 team in Seattle, you know. Yeah. And I know the stadium's empty, but yeah. So it was an interesting weekend again.
Yeah, it's coming down to these last few weeks, obviously, of the season, and all these teams are trying to fight to be that number one seed. I know in the NFC you got the Saints, who came on the road to beat Atlanta this past weekend. Taysom Hill now 3-0 mm-hmm. as a starter, looked like a quarterback in that ball game. I thought he threw it around pretty good. So the Saints at the top of it. Green Bay obviously is coming on. You got Seattle, because of that loss to the Giants, dropped all the way down to the fifth spot. So there's going to be some interesting jockeying as this season gets down to the wire. And obviously the Titans are playing good football, even though they lost last weekend to the Browns. But Pittsburgh, the Titans, you got a bunch Chiefs. Of teams in the AFC. The Chiefs, of course,
Raiders
are crushing it right now. So NFC, AFC still going to be interesting as the days come on and we see what happens. Pittsburgh and Buffalo coming up this week, I think it's going to be an outstanding ball game. Loving what you're seeing out of Josh Allen.
Yes.
Put on a display the other night, throwing a football. Pittsburgh going to be hot coming off that loss. So, who you liking that one, man? You had to take a pick, Pittsburgh or Buffalo?
That's why
I asked you. It's a tough one right there.
Yeah. It's kind of like – It's you expect Pittsburgh. Okay, so 2 weeks ago, they got pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, and they were not happy with their what was going on with them. But after the game, Tomlin and Big Ben were unhappy with the way the team played. So then the next week they get the, you know, I feel like there's NFL football on every day right going on lately, which is cool. But you know, they're not in a good place right now. It's not just the schedule, I don't think. But I feel like it's still Pittsburgh. It's still Mike Tomlin. It's still Ben Roethlisberger. They still got all these people. So it's hard to pick against them. But I love me some Buffalo right now, man. I mean,
drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I'm enjoying watching them. And like you said, Josh Allen looks terrific. You know, he was questioned a lot last year, so I'm happy for him. I'm gonna take Buffalo on that one.
Ooh, that's a good one, man. I mean, it's hard not to want to root for Pittsburgh and Big Ben and his story coming back with the elbow. And you know, Pittsburgh just seems like they get better as the season goes on because they're used to that cold weather and things are colder.
Yeah,
and Buffalo's in the same boat, man. I think Stephon Diggs went over 1,000 yards now in this season. I mean, they got Cole Beasley. I mean, they got some dudes now that can make some plays for Buffalo. So I'm excited to watch Buffalo down the stretch, man. I know everybody picked them to win. How about the Patriots? You know, they're like they're going in the right direction here towards the end. I mean, they're 6-6 right now. Put a goose egg up on the Chargers. I mean, do you think – here's a good question. Do you think Cam Newton has done enough for the Patriots to say, we want you to be our guy long-term?
No.
So you think he's one and done? You think he's one and done? Or you think he gets like a two-year deal or something like that?
I mean, would they – I guess long-term is a subjective term because it's not like he's 24 years old. Right, but he passed for 69 yards in that game. You know, I mean, he ran for a one-yard touchdown. He ran for a two-yard touchdown. They scored two, three defensive or special team touchdowns.
Right.
What's impressive to me about the team is their defense holding a Chargers defense that Chargers weren't having trouble moving the ball. They got some studs on offense out there. To hold them to zero is impressive. But no, I don't think that they want him to be a long-term solution. But where you know, they got to have options before they make that decision, right? I mean, they got to know where they're going to be drafting, what's going to be available, who's a free agent, who, you know, they got to figure all that out. Maybe Carson Wentz is an option there.
Ooh.
Because he ain't starting this week.
That's a whole nother can. Ooh, I like that, though. I mean, that's another, you know, big topic is this week is Doug Peterson came out and said Jalen Hurts is going to be our starter this week versus Saints. That's interesting because you just gave Carson Wentz $110 million guaranteed. And I think, you know, he's on the payroll to at least 2024. Like, I'm not sure they can find somebody to trade for that type of number. But yeah. I think a lot goes into how well Jalen Hurts plays down the stretch. If Jalen Hurts balls out, that makes it so hard on the Eagles. What if he finds a way to, you know, get him back into possibly a game from getting into the playoffs or something like? Ooh.
Yeah, but a game from the playoffs in that division might be 5-11. But hey, let me ask you a question. Do you know? I don't know how well you know salary caps, but if Carson Wentz, let's say Carson Wentz was traded to the Patriots. How does that – do you know how that affects the Eagles' salary cap? Because it still does, right?
It does, but depends on – a lot of it is if they take his contract. If they don't take his contract,
they take some of it.
They can take some of it for sure. And the Eagles could be left on the hook for, you know, however million dollars they have left in 2 years or whatever. But,
yeah. It depends on that team. I get that if you cut somebody, it's still going to count against you. That makes sense. That makes logical sense to me. Right. But if you trade somebody and they were to take – if they were to take the whole contract, that's what I'm curious, how that affects the previous team. Because to me, it shouldn't. It's like, look, if we found a trade partner and they want to take them and take his salary on, it shouldn't affect our salary cap anymore.
Yeah,
okay.
They can take all that on. If, you know, they feel like, hey, this is a guy for us, it just – act like, hey, we signed him to that deal. So,
well, I've heard that in regards to him, and I also went earlier in the season when people were talking about blowing up the Falcons. I've heard people say the same thing about Matt Ryan. Like, they can trade him, but they're still going to be taking hits. Yeah. So maybe that's what they're talking about.
As the season starts to wind down, obviously there were a couple teams this year that lost head coaches. A couple teams lost GMs. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a lot of topic and conversation about GMs, head coaches. I'm not even going to ask you for a GM or a guy who you like. I'm going to ask you this, Scotty D. Which organization do you think a GM or head coach would want to get into? If you had to choose between the Lions, the Falcons, Houston, like out of those three, which one you think is the best landing spot for a new GM and a new head coach?
Are those the three
yeah.
that I'm choosing from?
Yeah.
Well, the Lions are out. they got
why are the Lions out, bro?
I think that I just think they're a poorly run organization from the top. I don't, you know, I know they're not trying to be, but they've proven that they got an aging quarterback who I like. I like Matt Stafford, but he's getting on up there. And so then you got the Falcons or the Texans. To me, it's probably the Texans. And I think Deshaun Watson's a big cause of that. Obviously here you got Julio and Matt Ryan and Grady Jarrett, Deion, you know, you got some guys, but Julio and Matt are on the other side of their career as well. So I think that it's more attractive to have Deshaun Watson continue to build around. They also have I think they have a little bit more pieces on defense that you feel good about at least.
See, it's an interesting one because you can look at it as, okay, I got a proven guy here in Matt Ryan. I got proven players. I got proven depth guys here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Or do I go with a guy in Deshaun Watson who has a bigger upside, who will be around a little bit longer, who I can absolutely build around. So I think the question comes down to, do you want it now or do you want it later?
Yeah.
And that's going to be, I think, the biggest selling point to a GM or a head coach is, because you're going to come in and say, hey, do we want to blow this whole thing up like you mentioned? Mm-hmm. Or do you want to say, hey, we got a couple pieces already in place. Let's try to build off those. And it depends on how much time your head coach will have. Like, we know in this league, hey, if you're not winning right away, they're going to find somebody else. Or do they give you like the John Gruden deal and say, hey, we'll give you a couple years to get this thing together, and then hopefully, you know, everything shakes out the way you want to. So,
well, let me interject this. Who would you want? Well, I'll just say it. Arthur Blank, I think somebody might enjoy or like and feel safe working for Arthur Blank. He's got a track record of not tossing people out quickly.
Yeah.
I don't know too much about the Texans. Bill O'Brien was probably there longer than most people think he should have been. I don't know how long their GM was there, but
Bill O'Brien was
he was the GM. That's right. Yeah. That's right. But if you're a GM, you look at Thomas Dimitroff's tenure. He was here for a while.
Yeah.
Every coach we've had, they get a leash. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. So maybe you think, hey, I want to go work with Arthur Blank, who's a great man.
Good point.
You know, good businessman overall. Yeah. But he's gonna give me the time to handle my business and to take care and do what I need to do. So that's definitely something to take in consideration as well, I think, if I'm taking the job.
Yeah, that's a good point, because everybody wants an owner that's going to give you an opportunity to be successful. Mm-hmm. And I think Arthur Blank has, like you said, proven a track record of, I'm going to give these guys all the opportunities to turn this sucker around. And we saw that most evident with Dan Quinn of, hey, things don't start right, but at the end of the year, I gave you an opportunity and then give you another chance to come back. So I'm with you on that particular situation. All right, Scotty D, we're rolling out here towards the end of this thing. And the last thing I think we should, you know, kind of end on is talking about the NBA, man. The NBA is on the horizon.
Coming
real soon. Preseason's on the rise. We got a couple trades that's already happened. The Hawks have gotten better. They brought in my man Rajon Rondo to the Hawks, who absolutely is going to make Trey Young a little bit better. We talked about it before we came on. Trey Young's getting a new shoe deal with Adidas here in the fall, so he's going to be an absolute superstar. But I think the biggest deal was the Rockets and the Wizards. John Wall and Russell Westbrook swapping teams. Obviously, the Rockets get John Wall and a future first-round pick, and the Wizards get Russell Westbrook. And I've been reading some stuff, and Russ has already brought the intensity. He's brought that killer attitude already to practice with the Wizards. He's there early. He's there, you know, an hour before his teammates get on the court. So I've been seeing a little bit of that stuff going around. What was kind of the biggest surprise for you during these trade deadlines as the NBA season approaches?
Well, I'll stick with that trade. You gave James Harden Chris Paul. Then you gave him Russell Westbrook. Now you're giving him John Wall.
Yeah.
I said Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, John Wall.
Yeah.
They're trying. They're trying to get him somebody that he can work with. You thought it was Chris Paul. That didn't work out. You thought, hey, he's buddies with Russell Westbrook. They're tight. They do commercials. I guess that's Chris Paul. Anyway, but we'll bring in Russell Westbrook as buddy. That didn't work out. And now he's wanting to leave. So they go get John Wall. I think that is 100% just trying to keep keep James Harden, to try to bring in another star point guard. So it's going to be interesting how they mesh. If Houston can't get the right trade for him, I think they're willing to squat on him. You know, they're willing to make him stick.
James Harden don't care, man. This man turned down 50 million. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. 50 M, Scotty D.
Well,
that's crazy.
But if the Rockets don't want to, if the Rockets can't get back what they think they can get back for him, they're going to pay him whatever he's making this year, and he's going to play for him, you know. And I feel like the Rockets are grasping at straws, so to speak, trying to get him to buy into what, you know. I don't know what else he can ask. They've tried, man. They try to get him, but get him, you know, a co-star. But hasn't worked out. So it's going to be interesting to see how that pans out. As far as the Hawks, man, they got preseason game Friday. I can't wait to watch, see what they – I know it's early, so you're not going to see everything, but anxious to see some new guys in uniform and see how they're going to – I'm interested how they're going to handle that rotation. I feel like
new
they got –
talent, man.
I don't think they got a bunch of superstars necessarily, but I feel like they got like seven starters on their team, you know?
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting how they handle that.
I heard Coach Lloyd talk the other day, and I love what he said. He said – we used to worry about trying to get guys reps and trying to make sure guys are playing. And he said, now, because we have so much competition, mm-hmm. if you don't play well on both sides of the court, there's somebody else who can come in and take your minutes. And we've gone from just wanting to be competitive to we will be competitive. And if you're not playing right, we got somebody else that's going to replace you. So, I like the way the Hawks are moving, man. I like the way they're trying to get this thing going.
I believe that to a certain extent.
I believe that till it happens, right?
Yeah, because I don't think they're going to care how much D Trey plays.
Yeah,
they're going to still let him score 30 a game for him.
Let Trey cook, man.
Hey, yeah,
but I think Lakers still going to be the team to beat. Obviously, they got a little bit younger, traded away a couple guys, but as long as you got LeBron on your team. LeBron signed that new deal. Mm-hmm. Anthony Davis signed a new deal. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be around for at least another 2 years from what LeBron signed with. And AD signed a long-term deal, 5 years. So
got the Warriors coming back too. I mean, they're going to be back.
You still liking them without Clay?
Yeah, that's a tough loss. But, I mean, you can get shooters. You know, you can get somebody to shoot the ball.
You can get shooters, but you can't get Clay type of
shooter. I know.
Clay a different dude, man. All right, man. So that was NBA got a lot going on. We'll definitely dive into more NBA as the preseason starts to crank up. But covering football, basketball, we had it all covered here. We talked some New Jack City, some coming to America today, a little bit of everything today on the Triple Threat Podcast. We want you guys to continue to subscribe and continue to listen. You know, you can find us all over the place, YouTube, social media is everywhere. We are everywhere, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you guys holler at us on the Triple Threat Podcast. Scotty D, lead the people with some good words of wisdom as they embark on the rest of their week.
Hey, be nice to each other, man. We're trying to get over a rough year from the virus that has affected our lives so extensively. And then, you know, the divisive election that is still being divisive. It'll work out, okay? It'll work out. It'll all work out. Just be nice to each other.
Talk to him, Scotty D. Y'all heard my man Scotty D said, be nice. Triple Threat Podcast telling everybody to enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you guys next week. and we'll be talking the big matchup, Alabama versus the Florida Gators in the SEC Championship game and the college football playoff to come. So we appreciate you guys hanging with us today on the Triple Threat Podcast. We'll see you guys next week. Deuces.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.